You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com. All right, it may be fun to talk about an iron butt ride. Can we say butt on the radio? We can, right? 1,000 miles in 24 hours. That's a lot of miles, right? And probably a lot of fun, too, but it's going to be a little bit of work. What's behind this iron butt ride, this ride for tomorrow? We'll be talking about that today. What's behind it is coworkers who you didn't know were struggling, or a neighbor who maybe you knew was struggling but didn't know how to help them. Or what about a family member? Man, it gets you. It's more than the 30,000 Montanans who are affected annually and forever by the loss of a loved one to suicide. We talk about suicide prevention. Suicide prevention. Yes. Yes, you can. Today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, here's your host, Tom Schultz.
All right, just another beautiful Monday. A wet, windy, cold weekend gives way to, I know, we can't trust that day, but let's get it dialed in, okay? For the work week, let's accomplish. Great to have you here, making Voices of Montana part of your Montana morning since 1998. So I guess that's, we're right around 23 years now. Two decades strong, working on three, the objective perspective. And what are we working on today? Making a difference. Aren't we always trying to work on making a difference as much as we are able? And when it comes to suicide prevention, you are able. You are. There's a lot of statistics out there. And do they stir you? They do me. In fact, it's more than just a stirring. It's a gut punch sometimes. You want to talk about children? This is from a 2019 Montana Department of Health and Human Services report. 535 children ages 10 to 14 completed suicide. The youngest in the country was 8 years old. That's a gut punch. What about our veterans? The VA estimates the suicide rate for veterans at 38.4 per 100,000. So you break that down, that's 3 to 4. Every veteran out of 10 that you know is going to attempt and commit suicide. What about the elderly? This is 2019 again across the country. 9,000, and that the veteran population in Montana, it's worse here. And we're going to talk about that a bit later on. But the elderly, 9,000 plus Americans over the age of 65 died by suicide. And again, those are gut punches. They ought to be, because suicide, as they say, is the number one preventable cause of death, especially among the young. We're going to talk about that today because it needs to be talked about, and we do it here on a regular basis. Gil Floyd's going to be with us a bit later on, along with Tina Beach, and they are part of this Ride for Tomorrow, this Iron Butt Ride, which is going to be, we'll talk about that in more detail. It's a 24-hour, 1,000-mile motorcycle ride that is put on by Dog Tag Buddies. Dee Dee Baker from Dog Tag Buddies is going to be with us a bit later on, too, to talk about that program. First, though, let's kind of get some perspective on this. Let's understand what the issue is. Let's understand what we can do to help. Tracy Rassley is the board secretary for the AFSP. That's the American Federation for Suicide Prevention, the Montana chapter, volunteered there for the last 5 years, chair of the Loss and Healing Committee. And good morning, Tracy. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? I'm so glad that we're having this conversation and to be a part of it.
Yeah, thank you for being here. The conversation maybe has gotten easier over the years. It's still a very difficult conversation to have when we talk about suicide prevention. Why is that?
There's a lot of stigma involved in suicide prevention, I think, for a lot of adults, especially when they're talking about their children. There's that knee-jerk reaction of intense, bone-chilling fear that this could happen to them, and if they don't think about it, if they don't talk about it, maybe then it's not going to happen.
It's remarkable, or is it remarkable? I guess I'm going to say it is. The number of people affected by suicide, the rising rates of suicide, especially over the last 20 to 30 years or so. Talk about that.
Well, in Montana specifically, we have been in the top five for the last 40 years. This year, the state is ranked as third for suicide loss, and that sadly is a good thing because for the last 5 or 6 years, we've actually been number one. So it's just one of those things that people keep thinking if we're not talking about it, then it'll go away. And the numbers have proven over and over and over again that if we're not talking about it, it's going to get worse because we're making people feel like those people who are in need feel like it's not a topic that they're allowed to discuss, and therefore they're not reaching out for help.
What brings our loved ones to the brink of suicide and beyond?
It is not one thing. That is the main thing that most people don't understand and don't realize, is that there's typically no one thing that leads to a suicide. It is going to be a combination of factors. It's going to be risk factors from behavioral factors in their experiences in their life. Current traumas that are going on. Some of it could be mental health issues. Some of it can be chronic health issues, pain issues, concussions. All of those things come together with what typically is the breaking point life event that is what most people look at and say, well, you know, I've heard before, you know, that person was really selfish for taking their life just because they lost a girlfriend. And well, no, it has very, very little to do with the loss of the girlfriend and everything to do with all those underlying factors that we're not talking about, that we need to be talking about in order for people to understand that.
Policies can have an effect on those underlying factors. Drug addiction is one that they've addressed in the most recent legislature with the Heart Fund. And although drug addiction, I don't know that it leads to suicide, it certainly plays a major part in it, I would guess. Your thoughts?
It is a risk factor, yes. Drug addiction, alcohol addiction, essentially what those types of things are for somebody who is suicidal is that they're trying to self-medicate. And it is obviously going awry because, you know, you cannot self-medicate a mental health condition away. You just can't do it. You need to reach out. You need to have a conversation with someone in order to find the help that you need to make sure that you are handling things in the right way. But drug addiction, alcohol addiction, those are definitely risk factors that we look at when talking about suicide. Those increase things that are trying to... those things that you're hurting your body with.
Mm-hmm. Again, how do we put get a handle on the dramatic increase in suicide? Is it, and I think we're starting to turn the corner, at least in awareness when it comes to our policymakers. But is it beneficial to kind of go down that road and explore that over the past few years?
Here's the thing. We are not changing anything without being able to have the conversation. That is the important thing. We need to have this conversation on all levels. We need to have the conversation with our school children. We need to have the conversation with our teachers and our staffs in the school. We need to have the conversations at colleges. We need to have the conversation in retirement homes. We need to be having the conversation in correctional facilities. All of these places, we need to be talking about this. That is the major change, is being open and honest and knowing what we're looking for when we're talking about suicide prevention. Because though all people who die by suicide show warning signs, they are not going to show warning signs to everyone. And so therefore, the more people we have aware of what warning signs they need to be looking for, the more likely we are to have an intervention on that suicide.
Tracy Rasley, Board Secretary for the AFSP, the American Federation, or Foundation, I should say, for Suicide Prevention. You can search them at afsp.org/chapter/Montana. Just remember it's afsp.org and you'll get there. So, Tracy, then how do we have this conversation? What are these warning signs?
So some of the warning signs include, you know, at-risk behavior, the drinking more, promiscuity in females, males being more dangerous in activities that they pursue, whether that be sports or even just in general, you know, driving fast even. The alcohol and drugs, definitely a warning sign. When someone who typically enjoys doing a certain activity all of a sudden doesn't, so your coworker that, you know, at the end of the week on Fridays, every Friday you guys go either have drinks or have dinner after work and kind of talk and have that, and this is somebody who's always there, all of a sudden they're not showing up and there's not really a, you know, they don't have a new wife at home or a new husband at home or a new baby at home that is preventing that. They're just not showing up, being a little more closed off. That is definitely a warning sign when someone's behavior changes. When I talk with the kids, I always say it's somebody who kind of has an Eeyore personality that becomes a Tigger personality. We think of it the other way, that a Tigger-type personality becomes an Eeyore. People, you know, tend to get concerned there. But when it's the opposite, there is the same kind of concern because that person may have already chosen the method that they were going to use to end their life, and they know their pain's going to end soon. So they're in a much better mood. So those huge swings in personality, those are definitely warning signs that we need to be looking at. And that's pretty much what it boils down to. If you see someone who has a dramatic, extended change in the way they act, that is someone you probably should be having a conversation with to see what's going on in their life, because that is, you know, that gut check of, wait a minute, something's not right with, you know, my coworker, and I, it just seems off. And please understand that there is a very good chance that you will be the only person to reach out, that you will be the only one to have this conversation, where most of the time we think, oh, you know, there's people who are closer to them, and they're probably noticing this too, so I'm sure they'll have the conversation with them. It's not always the case. The people who are closest to us, one, have a harder time admitting something's going on wrong. That's wrong. And two, we tend to hide some of that stuff from the people that we're closest to.
How do we, and we're going to run out of time in this segment. I'm going to have to keep you over because I want to talk about healing as well, because that's a big part of this. And I know that you're the chair of the Loss and Healing Committee as well. But let's, in this minute that we have plus, how do we have this conversation?
That is an amazing question, and the one thing that we need to start with is having it one-on-one. It's not a conversation, no matter how much more comfortable you would be if there's a friend group of four people and three of you are concerned about one. It is not a conversation that the three of you go and talk to that one person about. That would, the person would feel ganged up on. You would if it were you. This is one of those conversations where you kind of have to make yourself as vulnerable as you are wanting the person to be who is going to have this conversation with you. So it is definitely a conversation you have in private, away from everyone, not in the middle of a classroom, not in the middle of a work situation. You take them one-on-one where it's completely private. And then the next most important thing is to listen. If they're starting to talk with you, the last thing that they want is for you to try and fix things. We all know that that's the first thing, especially as a husband and wife, we do. We go home and we start complaining about our day, and our spouse starts trying to fix it for us because we want them to feel better. We want it to be a quick fix, make it happen. But in all reality, the person that you are talking with, you don't live their life. You are not there for every moment of it. You don't know all the ins and outs of it. So you need to listen to them and let them have the conversation.
Tracy, stand by. We got a break up here. We're going to welcome Gil Floyd and Tina Beach next, and we'll continue our conversation, suicide prevention, today from Montana for Montana. Suicide prevention, yes, you can. We're talking about that here today on Voices of Montana because it affects us in so many ways. I can look around a room and you can almost count the number of people in some way or another have been personally affected. And it is a forever effect when it comes to suicide. Suicide Prevention. Tracy Rasley is with us, board secretary of AFSP. We're going to welcome Gil Floyd and Tina Beach here in just a moment to talk about organizations that are doing things about it, raising public awareness. And Tracy, I know that's a big part of what you do. You're the co-chair of the Bozeman Out of the Darkness Walk. That'll be in September. We'll circle back on that. I wanted to just get a word out there about the healing when it comes to suicide, either those perhaps who have attempted suicide, but certainly the families who are left behind who are suffering because of a loved one committing suicide.
Correct. And I would ask that you use the term died by suicide or completed suicide.
Yeah, okay.
Just because it's less stigmatizing. It's just one of those things that the more we can get people to talk about it, the more likely they are to reach out for help. And so that's just kind of one of those things. But yes, the Healing Conversations program is an amazing program. It's actually a national AFSP program. I run the Montana portion of that, where someone who has a suicide loss can request a conversation with an individual who's been trained in having conversations and has more than likely a like suicide loss, like a parent loss or a child loss or a friend loss or a sibling loss, to sit down either by phone, by video chat, or before in person, and just have that conversation about what they're feeling, what they're going through, and kind of trying to put some more normal on the craziness of that loss.
You're a resource as well. Why don't you point real quickly to some of the resources that you guys utilize for folks, whether they need training in helping to talk about this, but also in recovery.
So there's the Healing Conversations program, which can be reached at afsp.org, Healing Conversations. There is the National Suicide Prevention Line, 1-800-273-TALK, T-A-L-K. Texting to 741741. You can text the word TALK, T-A-L-K, or in Montana, you can text MT. You can also go online to afsp.org and find a support group that is in your local area. Some of those are virtual. Some of those are in person. Some of them stay virtual all the time. Some of them will get back to in person when they're able to.
Tracy, thank you. I appreciate it very much. I appreciate the work you do, and we talk about it frequently because we need to be reminded that we can do something about this. We'll talk to you down the road. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tracy Rasley with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Gil Floyd now joins us, as does Tina Beach. We're talking about suicide awareness now, and that leads to prevention. Gil Floyd is director of the American Legion Riders for Montana. He was also Army vet, 93 to 2002. Thank you for your service, Gil. How you doing, sir?
Doing good.
Good. Thanks for being here. Tina Beach, we've had her on, public awareness specialist for CHS. We talked about pipelines, but she's also a tenacious dame. In many ways, Tina, and a part of this Ride for Tomorrow event. How you doing, ma'am?
Good, doing very good. Thanks, Tom, for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And we'll take time as we need. Gil, talk about the effect of suicide with among your comrades. Obviously, in Montana, there's a large veteran population, and the VA estimates the suicide rate for Montana is, well, it's just, I would say, unacceptable.
Absolutely. It's just the effect that this has on families and the people that are left behind. It's a big hole in the community when somebody completes a suicide, and it does. It hurts a lot of people, and that's why we decided to do something about it with this ride, going across a pretty good swath of the state in one day. And trying to get these different communities to have some sort of events to, again, raise awareness, spread the word, keep everybody going to the next day.
Yeah, let's talk about that now with Tina Beach. We're talking about this Ride for Tomorrow, but it's called the Iron Butt Ride. In your circles, I should say, as a member of the Tenacious Dame, and is put on by Dog Tag Buddies. Dee Dee Baker's going to join us a bit later on to talk about that organization. But 1,000 miles in 24 hours on a motorcycle, that sounds like a little bit of fun, a little bit of work at the same time.
Well, it's definitely going to be a test of your mettle, honestly. this is a very, it's kind of a badge of honor for those that have done it in the past. Myself, I've done it, I did one last year. And also having recently lost somebody to suicide, a dear friend, this truly just spoke to my heart as a means for me to get involved and raise the awareness of suicide prevention in our community and give back. So, yeah, this is going to be a big ride. It's there's two ways that you can ride. You can either register to do that Iron Butt through dogtagbuddies.org, Ride for Tomorrow, or you can also go on there and just register to put some miles to the conversation. Just get out and ride that day to let people know that, you know, you're out there supporting this effort to create awareness regarding suicide.
I want to come back and talk about the path a little bit, the route, so to speak, but also the path to awareness, how you guys are using this in your community and other communities to raise awareness. Gil Floyd is with us. He is a past commander of the American Legion Post 4 and current director for the Department of Montana American Legion Riders, and also Tina Beach of Tenacious Dames. Got a headline breakup coming here, and back with more on Voices after this from Brian Bennett. It's adding miles to the conversation regarding suicide prevention and awareness. This Ride for Tomorrow, it's going to take place June 19th. It's sponsored by Dog Tag Buddies, and it's embraced by a lot of different organizations. We're talking about this Iron Butt Ride specifically with Gil Floyd, who's with American Legion Riders, and then Tina Beach, Tenacious Dames. And again, thank you guys for being here. Gil, let's go into this. Where are you guys going? Kind of map this out for us a little bit. 1,000 miles. And in Montana, that's almost a day trip, so to speak. There's a lot of miles to ride in Montana. Get us on that road a little bit.
You bet. We're not even traveling the whole state and still getting 1,000 miles staying in Montana. 5 o'clock in the morning, we're going to leave the second shift in Lockwood at 5 o'clock in the morning. And then from there, we're going to go down to Broadus, Montana. From there up to through Miles City, Glendive, Sydney, Culbertson. And then from Culbertson, we're going to track across the High Line, stop in Malta, make the turn and go down to Fort Benton. After we stop in Fort Benton for fuel, we're going to make our way through Eddie's Corner and down towards and stop on our last stop before we get to Billings back in Big Timber. And then from Big Timber, we're going to head back over to the American Pharmaceuticals parking lot to finish everything out, get our gas and give our high fives and find a bed.
Tina Beach with Tenacious Dames, and you can find out more just by searching for that, tenaciousdames.com. You guys, Women's Only Riding Club, it originated in Billings. Here you've got 9 chapters across the state. Have you ever done an Iron Butt? How is your club embracing the suicide awareness ride?
Well, we are embracing it. We actually are an all-women's riding group, and we just expanded to additional states. We have chapters in Billings, of course, and we are the largest chapter, the best one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But we have chapters in Miles City, Havre, Bozeman, Missoula, Hamilton, Kalispell, Helena. I know I've probably missed one in there. But, I think a lot of the women that we ride with, we are encouraging. Most of us are very hardcore riders. As I said, I've completed an Iron Butt last year. This is not an easy task, but we are encouraging different rides too. So at all levels of engagement for everybody to get out there and actually promote getting in, getting registered for this event. Register at Dog Take Buddies, the Ride for Tomorrow. All the funding that we receive from this goes directly to Dog Take Buddies. If you have not decided to be a sponsor yet, there's going to be t-shirts and banners and things like that created that are going to be all along that route that Gil just talked about. And if this is the last week to become a sponsor, to get your logo on a t-shirt or on the banners that'll be up along the route, and go to that dogtakebuddies.org/ride for tomorrow. And you can register as a rider. And like we said, you don't have to do the Iron Butt if you don't want to. But if you would, just get out and ride that day. Register. The extra funds will go to benefit Dog Take Buddies. And they are doing a training called question, persuade, refer, QPR. It's like CPR for life, but it's QPR for mental illness is how I would say it. But
yeah.
Stand by.
We're gonna talk much more about that here and what Dog Tag Buddies does in our communities as Dee Dee Baker will join us in just a bit. It's from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
Tomorrow we'll recap the legislature in a great degree as I'm lining up some reporters. Hopefully it's from Montana Free Press. I haven't necessarily got that confirmed yet, but that's what we're trying to take a look at. A lot of policy issues in Montana, some big changes and some business as usual. So that's tomorrow on the program. And Wednesday, we'll talk about what the Elks Club organization, Steve Daines, is going to stop in too. We'll catch him earlier on. The senator from Montana is doing some traveling and visiting communities around eastern Montana. He'll swing in here. We'll catch him early and have about a 10-minute conversation with the senator and then talk about what the Elks are doing. I don't have the exact name, but it's their National Youth Sponsorship Week, and they do a lot of stuff for the youth in our community. So that is going to be on the program on Friday. I hate to give these statistics and keep coming back to them, but they are, like I say, and they ought to be gut punches when we talk about suicide in Montana, and in particular, across the country, among the elderly, among our American Indian population. In 2009 to 2018, the highest rate of suicide among our American Indian population, even though they only constitute 6% of the state's population, we can do better. And that's what we're talking about here. Awareness is a big key in that. Dog Tag Buddies has just come alongside our veteran community. And Dee Dee Baker joins us. Gil Floyd is still with us. Tina Beach as well. We'll talk about this ride for tomorrow. But let's welcome Dee Dee Baker, Executive Director and founder of Dog Tag Buddies. And good morning, Dee Dee. How's it going?
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for being, a part of this mission. Why don't you talk, and we'll talk more about this ride because I need some more X's and O's from Gil and Tina. But first of all, the mission for Dog Tag Buddies. So you are the founder of this program.
Correct.
What is the program?
So our mission basically was born out of my husband's service. He was a 21-year retiree from the Montana National Guard. And when he joined back in the day, it was not common for them to go out of the country. And then 9/11 hit and he ended up serving in Iraq for a year. And when he came back, we started learning about PTS and traumatic brain injuries to a degree we didn't even know was going to happen. And out of that, Dog Tag Buddies was born, and it was born with the intention that we wanted to be able to, I wanted to honor my husband's service. I wanted to be able to give to veterans, and I wanted to be able to save dogs. And so you kind of roll it all into one. And initially the thought was, everybody could use a well-trained buddy. And as we started building this organization, we started realizing that there was so much more that was needed. And that's where pairing veterans with dogs and teaching them to teach their dog to be service dogs came in. We've been doing it since we got our 501c3 in 2015, and we've been working with veterans since January of 2016.
And it's had a real positive effect, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
In what way? How does it help veterans?
Really, it's more about the journey than it is the end result. It's giving our veterans an opportunity to put themselves in situations that they probably wouldn't have done otherwise. Training a dog is very humbling, and it's a lot of work. We do it in a group training. We do it with very small groups, so maximum we ever do is 5 veterans in a group. They learn to work together. It provides an opportunity for some connectiveness for them. Once they get out of the service and they come back to Montana, a lot of our veterans lose that connectivity. And when you're isolating and you're you know, every day is a challenge. What we're trying to do is to give them other things to think about and work to do that's going to be meaningful. And working with a dog, you don't get to sleep in. You have to take them out to do their business. When you're training a dog, you're working with them every day. It also is providing some accountability. You know, the proof is in the pudding. When they walk in with the dog and the work that they've done throughout the week, we can see what the dog looks like. They start working with each other outside of the training. So they're going out into the public and doing things that they probably wouldn't have done before.
And as you said, it's training a dog is very humbling. I think the question is, who's training who sometimes? The training goes both ways, I know, and that's real beneficial for veterans in our community. Gil Floyd is director of the American Legion Riders Department of Montana and also past commander of American Legion Post 4. Tina Beach also with us, too, with Tenacious Dames. Gil, motorcycles and dogs seem to kind of go together, but let's talk about this ride again, Ride for Tomorrow, that is going to take place on June 19th. What was the genesis of this idea? It's relatively new, isn't it?
Yes, this is our first year. We're hoping to do it again next year. But when Dee Dee and I had a fundraiser last year that we were working with a little bit together, and at the completion of that, the conversation started up of what could we do to work together and have a positive event. I gave her the idea that I was thinking about doing an Iron Butt, and as we started talking, doing the benefit for the QPR training that Tina mentioned earlier became the thing that we're going to be funding for. The money that we raise is going to go to QPR so that Dee Dee can go around as a trainer to give this education to people across the state at different communities. Like the first segment you guys were talking about, getting people to know how to talk to somebody about suicide is so important.
Tina, I want to have you pipe in here just a little bit, too, because with Tenacious Dames, an organization you mentioned that's got a handful of chapters in Montana, taking part in this. What was the decision behind? I know that you have some personal involvement with it. I think we all do when it comes to suicide, unfortunately. How many of the chapters are going to be taking part, and how can maybe the public take part?
Well, we're hoping that we'll have at least several riders from each chapter taking part on that day, if nothing else, scheduling smaller rides, because as Gil has alluded to, 1,000 miles in one day is not a small task.
No.
And with a name like Tenacious Dames, we know that there's persistent determination, and there are going to be a few of us taking on that challenge of 1,000 miles. So that'll be a big task at hand. However, it's not just about us riding, too. It's about people getting out, being sponsors, volunteering, doing their part to create awareness of this training that can impact our communities. And that's why the Tenacious Theme stood behind us, was because we are a group of women empowering other women to rise above circumstances and develop long-lasting, healthy relationships. So we're trying to look at getting as many riders involved as possible, but most importantly, we want sponsorships, and we want this to benefit dog take buddies in a way that they're not taking away from those services that they're providing from the veterans, but reaching out also and educating across the state. So for a simple sponsorship of $250, you can get your name on the website, the T-shirts, you know, and Scenic Zip Trip has decided to be the primary fuel sponsor. And so even if you could support them as they support this effort across the state as well, and they are a $1,000 sponsorship. So I just would encourage people to get out there on that website and look at what can we do to impact our communities.
I'm going to talk a little bit more, too, in just a bit, Dee Dee, about the value of this ride. As Gil had said, it's brand new this year. And Gil, what are some of the things you're doing in these communities? You talked about starting at 5 o'clock, second shift in Lockwood, and then you're gonna head to southeastern Montana, and then go north and go up across the High Line. You've organized certain events in all these communities.
Yes, each community is setting up a suicide awareness activity at their location. So naturally, we're going to be down there somewhere in the 7 o'clock time frame. So they're going to have something going on there, and we're leaving it up to the community to set something that's appropriate for them or what their community wants to bring to the table. And then what we've told them is we're going to give a community, one of the communities that we stop in, a $500 essentially grant to say, thank you for your bringing the awareness to suicide, and try to make it a competition so we get some pretty neat displays and conversations and events at each one of the areas as we go through.
What's been the response so far then? How many riders do you think we'll have?
We've only been open for a few weeks, I'd say about 3 or 4 weeks, and we've got well over 15 riders already scheduled to do the 1,000 mile, and we have probably double that in I want to, but they haven't signed up yet.
We'll see
where we land on the 1,000 mile. But we also have pre-scheduled and pre-lined out rides for coming out of Billings for 2 500-mile rides and another 300-mile ride. So people can pick and choose if they're not comfortable with 1,000 miles, which that's a big pill to swallow. They can get on the website as well and choose one of those or sign up for their own ride and just go out for a ride and stop at places and talk about the awareness and what they're doing.
We're going to talk more about Dog Tag Buddies. I'm going to thank Gil Floyd, Director of American Legion Riders, Department of Montana, also Army Vet. Thank you for your service, and I appreciate what you continue to do, Gil, and member of Tenacious Dames, Tina Beach, Public Awareness Specialist for CHS, as well as they have gotten on board with this. I've got some questions for Dee Dee about Dog Tag Buddies when we come on back. But Gil and Tina, you guys be safe. I assume both of you have taken some smaller rides, preparing your butt for this?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's a must.
Yep. Okay. Fair enough. All right. Thank you, guys. I'd love to catch up with you two maybe down the road. Maybe we'll look at something on June 19th and just catch a quick word to see how it's going. So, again, thanks.
Thanks, Tom.
That'd be wonderful.
All right. Look, I got more to cover here with Dee Dee Baker. My apologies. Dee Dee, stand by as we'll talk more about Dog Tag Buddies, too. And also, we reference this, the Question, Persuade, and Refer, QPR. So that and more ahead here as we look at suicide prevention. Yes, you can. From Montana for Montana. That'll be a lot of fun. The ride for tomorrow, the Iron Butt Montana. It's adding miles to the conversation about suicide prevention and awareness. A big part of that, it's organized through as a fundraiser for Dog Tag Buddies. And that's a group that formed relatively recently to help reduce suicide in Montana, especially in the veteran population. As Dee Dee Baker is with us here, executive director and founder of that. Got to get a little bit out here, Dee Dee. As you mentioned here, the Question, Persuade, and Refer. What is that? And is it effective? Is it a training tool for us?
It's a tool to help people have that conversation. One of the things that we find, and for me, the reason I actually got involved with it was as part of the Mayor's Challenge. It was really important to me because of the population that I work with to do and know as much as I could, because those situations arise and there's nothing more frightening than not being able to be comfortable with what you're saying and having that conversation. So the QPR became an opportunity through the Mayor's Challenge as part of the larger coalition to help bring awareness to suicide in Montana. For me, it just was a natural fit to be able to go out and have these conversations because, you know, if we can get out and talk to people about that, whether we're talking to veterans groups or we're talking to non-veterans groups, we have the ability to impact both groups by having those conversations. When I walk in and I do these presentations to veterans, the first thing I ask them is, how many of you have parents? How many of you have children? How many of you have siblings? The answer is, every hand goes up in the room. It doesn't matter. When you walk into a civilian group and you ask them, how many of you have veterans in your family or have people that are currently serving in the military, more than 50% of the hands go up in the state of Montana.
Yeah.
So we know what the demographics look like, and we know how serious this issue is. And the only way we're going to be able to do anything about it, I believe, is to educate ourselves and get comfortable with that conversation.
You talked a little bit about what Dog Tag Buddies is, and I think it's a great idea. I mean, and it seems like a natural fit when it comes to helping in the therapeutic healing and suicide prevention. Those services don't cost anything for a veteran. How do you manage that?
We rely on grants and donations. When we started out, we have been so blessed. Our community has been so incredibly supportive of us. We started out locally here in Billings, and in 2018, we received a grant from the Wounded Warrior Service Dog Grant, and we've been able to expand our services. We've been able to set up our own training center here in the state in Billings, but we've also been able to, guys, I'm on the phone. Sorry.
That's all right.
Sorry, I'm on the phone. So we've been able to expand our services to Helena, Great Falls, Missoula, Kalispell, and Polson. I've got trainers in all those areas, and the idea is we want to be able to have veterans participate in our program and never have to travel further than 2 hours to get to the training. We want to make sure that we do everything we can to support them and make it easier. At the same time, as I said earlier, training a dog is humbling. There's a lot of work involved. So we do have a lot of accountability built in there to ensure that they're actually doing what they need to do in terms of training the dogs. But we don't want it to be a stress factor in getting to the training, in participating, in providing the services. If a dog needs to have, you know, a veterinary visit, I don't want a veteran to be worried about the fact that they can't pay for it. I want to make sure that they have a good quality food. So everything we do has been through grants and donations, and we have been so blessed.
Really a cool organization, a cool idea, and I wish you much success. June 19th, do you ride, Dee Dee?
I do not. My husband does.
Okay.
I can't sit still. I wiggle too much.
I get you, yeah. Dog Tag Buddies, is it dogtagbuddies.org?
It is.
All right. Find out more there and support when you can. And thank you for doing what you're doing, Dee Dee. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Remember, suicide prevention, yes, we can. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.